Hello, I'm Ed Butler. Welcome to Business Daily from the BBC. Today, the biggest slum in Asia facing a double threat, coronavirus and hunger.
Most people here are daily wage workers having hand-to-mouth existence. For now, we will support staying in our houses, but we can't eat unless we earn. If we die of starvation, what's the point?
The lockdown in India, is the government keeping its promise to keep the nation fed?
There are a lot of people who are not covered by the National Food Scheme. So what we need is a way of making sure that, you know, no one goes hungry.
That's all to come in Business Daily from the BBC. Huge food queues gathering in Asia's largest slum. This is Dharavi, an extraordinary place at the best of times, close to a million souls squashed into just 2 square kilometres. Low-rise, flimsy tenements, they pile on top of each other. 2 weeks after the Indian government announced a 21-day lockdown, thousands here are struggling to get enough food.
There is a lot of fear. I am tied up all the time checking people as I work as a watchman. I am having a lot of problems getting supplies and food.
That's Anil. He's a resident in his late 30s. Many inhabitants like him actually have homes and families away in the countryside. They rent their dwellings in this place, making repairs, pushing containers, sorting and selling trash. They send what little they make back home. But the lockdown now means that they're trapped with no form of income. Lakshmi Kamble is a casual worker. She's finding it tough. She spoke to us from her tiny one-room shack.
We are all struggling due to the lockdown. Our houses are too small for refrigerators, so we can't store food. We have to go out to buy milk and fresh food. Most people here are daily wage workers having hand-to-mouth existence. For now, we will support as much as we can, but in Dharavi, we can't eat unless we earn. If we die of starvation, staying in our houses, then what's the point? We are supporting ourselves for now, but lockdown isn't completely possible.
Dharavi is India's, indeed Asia's, biggest slum. Even amidst the lockdown here, people can be seen clambering over rooftops, making repairs, pushing containers. Barbers are still cutting hair. Bicycle couriers peddling bales of plastic. There doesn't seem to be much social distancing going on, to be honest. But then how can there be in such a densely packed environment? Irfan Ali is a freelance tutor.
The lockdown is scarier than the pandemic. If this continues, how are we to run our houses? Nobody in my lane has tested positive. There are so many rumours about people getting infected, but if that was true, then Dharavi would have had so many patients. Nothing of the sort has happened. People are trying to create fear. How can anyone suddenly get corona? Most of it is fake news.
Well, in fact, there have been cases of the disease, a handful of them. The race is on to find the source and isolate the people infected. Individual buildings, indeed blocks, have been forcibly quarantined. Here's Anil again.
As the population here is large, if the cases start increasing, they will increase in very large numbers. 5 to 6 cases have already been detected. Just opposite here, in that building, 2 cases have already been detected.
The whole situation does sound pretty desperate, doesn't it? I asked Vinod Shetty. He runs Acorn, a local aid agency supporting some 50,000 refuse collectors in the slum. Were people afraid of what they faced?
There is a fear of the unknown. More than the virus, it is also the economic future of Dharavi. because most of the people are daily wage earners, the garment industry, leather or recycling, and they are really insecure about the future of their livelihoods. Orders have dried up, workshops have shut down, workers have left Dharavi, and people have been living hand to mouth as it is. On rentals are very high in Dharavi because it's in the middle of Mumbai, and staying back in Mumbai without a job or without any livelihood is not a option for most people. So people are hoping that by the 14th of April the lockdown will be lifted and things will return to normal.
You talk about rentals. Presumably there is a threat of evictions for many of these people.
Yes, landlords, various people who own the factories or own houses, who themselves are surviving on that rent. So they're going to start demanding their rents, and that will cause another crisis, because what the government has promised, economic help, hasn't yet started flowing to the people.
I've been seeing on social media images, huge queues developing around food banks. There are handouts being offered, aren't there? But it seems like the demand is overwhelming them.
Yes, as Dharavi's population is very huge, the demand for cooked food or a meal is a large, those numbers are only possible if government steps in. Today, it is mainly the social NGOs and organizations which are organizing the food for the people.
So no government help is yet reaching the slums. Is that what you're saying?
The rations which have been promised, the government is supposed to organize 15 days ration for all the people below poverty line. But in terms of distribution of cooked food, it is mainly the NGOs and social organizations distributing food to the needy.
What do you think of the stay-at-home order? I mean, how it can apply, in principle even, in a physical environment like Dharavi? Does it make sense?
Social distancing in Dharavi is a luxury, and that kind of social distancing is not possible, because even if you push people and force them to live inside their houses and contain them, you're talking of an average of 7 to 12 people in each house. Each toilet, there is a demand from at least 80 people who share a toilet. So this kind of conditions, or when they come out to buy their essentials, there is a lot of demand for it. So social distancing is not possible in the classical sense. That's why it's very important to take the community in confidence, and the more the authorities and the government rely on community leaders, they will ensure the cooperation of the people to keep this distance and stay as far as possible off the streets. But this requires huge effort from the government for this outreach and change their techniques, because it can't be a law and order situation where you use coercive steps to keep people inside their houses. And the government will have to make a serious effort to direct economic aid to people's bank accounts and assure them that even if they stay at home for the next month, their rations will be given to them, their food will reach them, and they will not lose their jobs. This is the need of the hour, reaching people and telling them not to worry, that the government is going to look after them.
Aid worker Vinod Shetty here on Business Daily from the BBC. So tough times in one Mumbai slum. Alarmingly, similar reports seem to be cropping up in many other parts of the country as well. Where is the government right now?
लेकिन सबसे पहले मैं सभी देशवासियों से क्षमा मांगता हूं और मेरी आत्मा कहती है कि आप मुझे जरूर क्षमा करेंगे क्योंकि कुछ ऐसे निर्णय लेने
पड़े। It was early last week, 4 days after announcing the lockdown, that the Prime Minister Narendra Modi went on the radio to personally apologize to the people for all the upheaval. I would like to seek forgiveness, he said, from all my countrymen. Still, he reckoned he'd had no choice in the face of the menace of coronavirus. And then, only then, did the government promise the $22 billion economic stimulus that would provide direct cash transfers and food handouts to India's poor. That, at least, was the promise. Radhika Kapoor is a fellow at the think tank, the Indian Council for Research on International Economic Relations.
The government laid out this program to provide food to the poor. It would provide free of cost to 800 million beneficiaries of the National Food Security Scheme, 5 kilos of rice or wheat per person, and 1 kilogram of pulses for a household for the next 3 months. But the challenge here has been that there are a lot of people who are not, in fact, covered by the National Food Security Scheme, in particular migrant workers. So what we need is a way of universalizing access, making sure that, you know, no one goes hungry.
So the government has made these promises. How much is this aid actually getting out there?
Well, I think we are hearing that there are people who are not getting this aid, but then in other states, people are getting the aid. So there are some states which have announced their own packages. They're doing a good job of the implementation on the ground. There are supply side disruptions. There are bottlenecks in the supply chain. We know that a lot of the food is not getting to the people who really need it. And this is something which is going to take time. And perhaps this is something which should have been thought of before we enter the period of the lockdown.
Well, exactly. Here we are, 7 days into it, and we're still talking about huge areas which simply haven't received anything.
Yes.
So, there you have it. There is a further irony here, though, in this extraordinarily challenging time for India. Just as migrant workers and others are struggling to find food, Indian farmers are being forced to dump the stuff. Just a few dozen kilometres from Mumbai, the Reuters news agency has found farmers feeding their strawberry crop to passing cows because the tourists that usually eat them aren't there anymore. Another farmer was giving his lettuce feed away as free cattle feed because he said the transport lorries to collect his harvest had vanished.
Due to lower prices and the market closure, I'm offering iceberg lettuce for free to anyone so that they can feed their cattle. We will incur losses, but at least it would overcome the hunger of the cows.
Some happy Maharashtrian cows. They probably can't believe their luck. Across India, food supplies are massively being disrupted by this lockdown. Drivers are unable to get to their lorries. Trucks are stuck at state lines. Economist Radhika Kapoor fears a wider food supply risk because of all this upheaval.
Because we have this complete restriction on movement. So we know that farmers are finding it difficult to go and sell their produce at the mandis. Then there are difficulties in getting that across to the cities, to the villages. So the supply chain there is disrupted. This is also the time when the crop has to be reaped. That's a labor-intensive process. And the farmers are not able to get laborers to come and work on their sites. So the agricultural sector is also in a crisis situation. That's gotten compounded by the COVID crisis and the effect of the lockdown.
Given India's massive population, its massive poor population, that's pretty scary, isn't it?
Oh, it's completely scary because the problem is the cost of staying at home and not working is too high for most people. And about 44% of India's workforce is in the agricultural sector. So, you know, how the agricultural sector performs depends on how the entire rural economy will perform. But I'm actually concerned about the supply chain across the board because for this period of lockdown, we might have inventories. But if the lockdown were to persist and we can't actually get the food across to the cities or we can't even produce essential items, what that's going to do is lead to inflation. And that's something that I'm deeply worried about in terms of the impact of disrupting the supply chain.
The economist Radhika Kapoor. If you thought all of this sounds just like one country's upheaval, well, maybe think again. In the last 2 weeks, India, which is a major rice exporter, has largely stopped foreign shipments. Such is the dearth of supply reaching the ports. Other exporting countries like Thailand have ramped up their prices in response, and that's causing record price highs in the global market. Stefan Vogel is an international food strategist at Rabobank.
With the COVID cases moving along in many, many regions of the world, importing countries are ramping up their purchases because people are hoarding staple food that you can store for a longer period. So rice is definitely on the preferred buying list these days. On the other side, Vietnam, which is one of the top three rice exporters in the world, has firstly implemented a temporary suspension of exports, has then moved towards an export restriction with quotas, so limiting the volumes to avoid that prices domestically rise further. You have a lot of very poor countries in the world relying on rice, and there the price increase that we have seen is one that will be very challenging for some of the importing countries that are facing economic challenges these days.
Stefan Vogel, well, if any of today's show has chimed with what you are going through right now, where you are, we would like to hear from you. Next week, Manuela is going to be hosting an edition of Global Money Box on the BBC World Service. She wants to know how your finances are being affected by the coronavirus crisis. Billions of us are living in lockdown. Millions have lost their jobs. Many more are struggling to pay bills. How are you coping? What government support is there where you are? What about the banks, your employer, your landlord? And what do you make of the general political effort that's going on around the world? Email us your experiences and thoughts to moneybox@bbc.co.uk. Before we go, a final word once more from Dharavi, the huge Mumbai slum, home to nearly a million people. Mariam is an aid worker there. She's struggling to help people stay fed and safe from the spreading menace of coronavirus. She's not sure she's winning.
People are scared because of this disease, corona, but they have to come out. You cannot block them. You cannot tell them that please do not go use the toilets. They have to go out of the house. There's no food. Prices have gone up. People are unable to buy. This situation will worse if suppose if it continues. We have to forcefully tell people to stay at home. Protect yourself, protect your family. The question is, how do we protect?
As the COVID-19 outbreak continues to spread across the world, our coronavirus global update brings you all the latest news twice a day.
On the pandemic,
respiratory failure,
a national lockdown,
basic supplies,
giving you a global perspective on a global story.
South Korea has
here
become
in Johannesburg.
Iran has announced
Italy is
in
now
India.
The US has extended.
Belarus still has fewer than
Tokyo.
The coronavirus global update from the BBC World Service. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.